Hey there, everyone. Happy National Scissoring Day and happy three-year AEW Dynamite anniversary. I'm your host, Denise Salcedo, here on F4W Online. It is October 5th, and we got a loaded, jam-packed episode of AEW Dynamite to talk about today. On top of that, we have some breaking news about more news, actually, because this started way before AEW Dynamite between Andrade and Sammy Guevara. We have a lot to go over here tonight. However, before we get started, I want to thank you guys so much for coming in. Thank you so much for getting all those scissors in on the chat. For those of you who are new to the show, if this is your first time watching, this is a very interactive show. Please send in your thoughts. I know we're going to have plenty of them, especially on a night like this. So send in your thoughts, send in your opinions in the comments section. I will be pulling some of those comments throughout the entire show. However, if you guys want to help support me and help support this podcast, and you want to get your comments, your questions, your statements, your rants, your opinions, your hot takes, your scissors, whatever it is, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat at any point throughout the show. F4W Online does allow me to keep 100% of the super chat proceeds after YouTube takes their cut. So if you want to help support this podcast, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat. But thank you so much to everybody who's in here tonight. We are going to go ahead and get started with the Sammy Guevara Andrade news, because there's just a lot, and that's like that was really, you know, the timing of when the story broke that there was an altercation, another backstage incident in AEW. However, this time between Sammy and Andrade, it happened literally like right at the start of AEW. I think I saw TMZ's article 7 minutes after it posted. And at this point, we had just gotten into the Wheeler-Yuta MJF match. So this was literally at the top of AEW Dynamite, which, to be honest, was kind of unfortunate, because for a lot of people, including myself, I had to go back and rewatch that MJF Wheeler Yuta match because I missed the beginning of it, just because I was like, what the hell is going on with this Andrade, Sammy Guevara thing? And you know, the second a story like this breaks, it's like, you know, people are talking, you're trying to see what people are saying, you're trying to see what reports are out there. And so there's a lot. So it was a little bit unfortunate that I do think that this kind of took away from the show, at least in the beginning, and then it kept you kind of thinking about it like the entire day, the entire night. However, this episode of Dynamite, this three-year anniversary episode, legitimately had a lot of really good wrestling on here tonight, and I can't wait to talk about those matches. And then we also had some really incredible moments, of course, that one of those being the National Scissoring Day celebration that they did on today's show. So we got a lot to get into. Our first super chat of the day actually comes from Hagen, who says, I was really enjoying this episode until that main event finished. Oh, we will talk about that. And I'm also going to talk about that at the top of the show. I'm going to talk about everything Sammy Guevara, Andrade related at the top of this show. So let's get into it and let's talk about what the hell is going down and basically what happened. Okay. So I listened to the entire Andrade interview that he did with Mas Lucha. It was a pretty good interview. Obviously, it was the entirety of the interview was in Spanish. And I wanted to listen to it because I wanted to get an idea of, you know, I was interested in the topics that Andrade was going to be discussing. And the major takeaways from that interview that he did was legitimately most of it was him kind of talking down in regards to AAA. He was talking down on AAA a lot. One of his big grievances that he had was basically them kind of not treating him like a star that he was complaining a lot about their catering. That was one of the big things. Like, he complained a lot about their catering and how, you know, they wanted him to get there at like 11 in the morning, but they didn't provide the kind of catering, the kind of service that, you know, companies like AEW and WWE do. And, you know, he said, oh, they just provided like cacahuates and churros, which is really nothing. So he was kind of talking about that. He was talking a lot of, you know, about Dorian, and, you know, he mentioned how Ric Flair did that appearance at AAA for free, and he was basically saying that Dorian owed him one. So that was one of the big portions that he discussed in this interview. And it was kind of like a major part of the interview that Andrade did. But over to the AEW side of things, the big thing that he was speaking about was how he kind of kept telling the interviewer that he wanted more in AEW. He just kept saying, I want more, I want more. Even though the AEW schedule is better than the WWE schedule, he said that he felt the exact same way in AEW that he felt in WWE in regards to him and how he's being booked and the creative around him and him essentially wanting to be more and wanting to be, you know, the top guy in the business. So that was one of the things that he talked about. On top of that, he talked about the perception that some of the other people in the AEW locker room had of him. And he basically said that in the beginning, you know, he said he was kind of getting like stares and people saying kind of negative things about him because of the way that he dresses. As you guys all know, Andrade goes in, he's got the suits, he's got the tights, he's got the jewelry, a very fancy fella. So he was kind of talking about that, but he said, you know, within time that kind of faded away. The interviewer, and this is where the controversy began specifically with Sammy Guevara. This was towards the end of the 50-minute interview. The interviewer basically asks Andrade, like, hey, you know, what's really going on backstage with AEW? What's going on in terms of the drama with the Elite and with CM Punk? You know, what's going on? And he said, you know, I'm not one of those guys to really be caring for any of this drama. When I'm working out and guys come up to me and they tell me, hey, have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? He basically says he just brushes it off. But then he casually noted that he did have one problem in AEW. He said he never had a problem with the Young Bucks. He never had a problem with Kenny Omega. He never had a problem with CM Punk. He said all those guys were nice to him is what he said. But he did say that the person he had a problem with was Sammy Guevara. That during a match, and this was not specified, the match that happened was not specified. And they've had, I believe it was like three matches where they've had an interaction this year. One of them being a singles match, one of them being a triple threat match. So he basically says that Sammy complained to him about that Andrade was hitting him too hard. He said that Sammy Guevara was complaining like a little girl. That's what he said. So he basically threw a shot saying that he complained like a little girl, that he was hitting him too hard. So then on top of that, he started saying like, you know, this is wrestling, blah, blah, blah. And this is what, you know, I'm going to do. And so then this whole thing led to this Twitter beef blowout where Sammy Guevara went out there and started basically tweeting, he didn't say who this tweet was directed to, but he called somebody a jobber and this and that. Andrade and a lot of people read it as a shot to Andrade, given what he had said in this Spanish interview that he did. Then what we had was a series of back and forth tweets between Andrade and Sammy, basically arguing, calling each other names. You know, Sammy basically said that Andrade wants to go back to WWE, that he should just go back, that he called him a jobber. He said he's only there as a favor to his father-in-law, etc., a favor hire, all of this stuff. You all saw the Twitter interactions. The last thing that was sent out by Andrade to Sammy Guevara during this exchange was something along the lines of, I'm going to see you on Wednesday and I'm going to tell you to your face again. And lo and behold, we did apparently get a confrontation between Andrade and Sammy Guevara. So straight from the TMZ website, this is what was said. And I'm going to read it directly from the TMZ website because there was a lot of stuff that was a little bit on. You know, there's a lot of different stuff going around right now. So I want to read this directly from the TMZ website. AEW star Sammy Guevara and Andrade were just involved in a backstage altercation. Sources tell TMZ Sports. And Andrade has been sent home. That's key. They go on to say, we're told the incident happened backstage at an AEW Dynamite show in Washington, D.C. Wednesday night. Sources tell us words were exchanged and that things turned physical. Sammy allegedly pushed Andrade and punches were thrown, according to our sources. It's unclear if anyone was hit. Our sources are adamant the altercation was not part of an AEW storyline. As for the reason for the fight, the guys have been in an intense beef that spilled over on social media, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so on top of that, they also added, our sources say several wrestlers are pissed at Sammy for publicly airing personal private issues, and things just boiled over at the arena. Andrade, who happens to be Charlotte Flair's hubby, posted somewhat of a cryptic message on social media. Okay, so that was pretty much the gist. The gist of this is saying that Andrade was sent home, Sammy was not, because obviously we saw him on Dynamite tonight. But here it's saying that Sammy pushed Andrade and that punches were thrown. And so it makes you wonder, okay, if this is what TMZ is saying, that Sammy allegedly pushed Andrade and punches were thrown, why wasn't Sammy Guevara also sent home just like Andrade? So it seems to me that there's, it's very unclear, because if it's still not totally clear who technically started the entire altercation backstage at AEW. We don't know if it was Sammy who started it. We don't know if it was Andrade who technically started it. All we have right now is Sammy allegedly pushed Andrade and that punches were thrown. So something had to have, either this is not in, you know, obviously this is not the entire story. There's got to be more to this, because the big question here is, why didn't Sammy essentially get taken off the show or sent home the way that Andrade did? It could have been, and you can't even say like, oh, it's the match, because he had to do the match, because what did we have not too long ago, but everything that basically went down with CM Punk and the Elite and that whole drama. And we had, you know, new Trios champions crowned. We had a new champion crowned. So the changes, if they want them to be made, could be made, obviously. So that's basically what happened with the report on TMZ. Later on, the Jericho Appreciation Society ended up doing this promo backstage, and Sammy Guevara had like one brief little line, and instantly it was massive amounts of boos. And I mean massive amounts of boos. Now, fast forward to the main event of AEW Dynamite tonight. We obviously had Daniel Garcia and Bryan Danielson teaming up to take on Sammy and Jericho. At this point, we were still not, you know, we still didn't know for sure, like, hey, is this, is Sammy on the show? But the second that he came out during that promo, it was clear that he was going to be on the show. Okay, fine. So this match kicks off, and throughout this entire match, we were getting like, fuck you, Sammy chants. Like, people were pissed. People were going nuts when Brian got Sammy with the yes kicks, like really behind that. Daniel Garcia absolutely killed it in this match. Like, he went in there with like great intensity, getting Brian, getting a Jericho, excuse me, in the Dragon Tamer. Really awesome moments for Daniel Garcia during this match. There was a lot of really, there's a lot that I loved from this, but I'm trying not to steer away from the Sammy Guevara stuff. So during this match, here's the thing, and here's the big thing that I wanted to talk about during this, is that, you know, this isn't Sammy's first issue in AEW. This is not the first time that there has been any sort of problem with Sammy Guevara. There have been multiple problems with Sammy Guevara. There was the whole thing with Eddie Kingston, you know, the comments made about Sasha Banks in a previous interview. That was a whole drama within itself too. There was also the thing a while back with him and Impact Wrestling. And there's been quite a few dramas surrounding Sammy Guevara. Okay. But for the most part, like, there were people that were already, you know, hating on Sammy, and, you know, he gets a lot of social media hate, and, you know, he would get poor reactions. Like, he would get heat during the shows and all of that. Okay. But the thing that we were still seeing was whenever Sammy did like a cool move or he had a really good match, the crowd was still like cheering, like, okay, like, let's pop, let's have this reaction for Sammy. However, this did not happen tonight. Tonight was the night that I feel Sammy officially kind of, he lost the fans turned on him. Like, whatever, like, there was, it was never this much in terms of the fans not wanting to cheer for Sammy Guevara. Like I said, if previously he had a good match or a good moment, people would react, right? They'd be like, all right, like that was awesome. This match, they did not do that. If he had any moments, people were still, you know, doing the F you Sammy chants, and they were chanting, you still suck. And it really feels like in this moment that the majority of the people have officially turned on Sammy. And the reason for that is all of the consistent back-to-back, reports of, you know, all of this drama. And, you know, a lot of people, one of the major takeaways that I've been seeing from comments of people commenting on this story on Twitter or whatever, one of the main things that I've been seeing is people saying at this point, Sammy is the problem. If there's all of these issues with him at one point, if there's issues with anybody, at some point people start to say you're probably the issue, right? So that's been like the common thing that I've been seeing on Twitter and social media. The other thing that I've been seeing on social media is a lot of people saying that they don't feel Sammy Guevara has gotten punished enough. I don't know if that's the proper way to say it, but that is what a lot of people have been putting on social media. And so clearly that is a huge general consensus amongst the people that there hasn't been, you know, punishment for Sammy. Because when the whole thing happened with Eddie Kingston was the one that, you know, got suspended. And so it is one of those things that you can't help and you can't ignore it, right? You're wondering, like, what is going on? Why didn't Sammy get sent home the way that Andrade did? So there is just a lot here. I do feel bad for, like, I don't even know how to say this, but, you know, I'm a fan of both Sammy and Andrade in this. However, I feel like this isn't a controversy that you can easily say, oh, I side with this person or I side with this person, right? To me, both Sammy and Andrade had equal fault in this. And, you know, to an extent, even Sammy, because he could have easily... You know, I don't know if he could have easily, maybe he could have ignored the comments that Andrade said, maybe just to not have to deal with the drama. I don't know. You know, it depends on every single person, what they do and don't comment on. I mean, look at all the drama that happened with, you know, CM Punk and Hangman Adam Page. And for the most part, we haven't heard much of Adam Page's, you know, reactions to everything that happened with CM Punk and all the things that CM Punk said about him. He never commented on those things publicly. So in a certain way, you can say that maybe Sammy shouldn't have gone out there and tweeted this stuff. Of course, this doesn't rid Andrade of the responsibility when he was doing that interview. He shouldn't have mentioned that. He shouldn't have mentioned what he said about Sammy, because I think you know that that was going to get picked up. Even if it was in a different language, people were still going to pick up that quote and, you know, run with it. That's just the way things are. So, and it was said, you can't take it back once it's out there. So it is one of those things that you're like, okay, who's at fault here? With Andrade, you can see where things went wrong with Andrade during that interview. But with Sammy, things went wrong in terms of the Twitter stuff. Like, it should have been handled privately, on both ends, right? And obviously that was something that was said by Andrade. During that interview with Andrade, he did say that he and Sammy apparently were cool and that everything was fine and that they had a conversation backstage, right? He didn't really give any sort of details as to what went down in that conversation, but this was something that Sammy then denied on Twitter to happen. So it is a terrible... It's a terrible look right now, especially the timing of everything. It's just so bad. Like, we're just, you know, starting to let go of the, or rather not talking as much about everything that happened with the Elite and with CM Punk and Ace Steel. And we're finally kind of shifting from that. And it's like, bam, here's this new drama. And, you know, things got aired so publicly, you know, putting your dirty laundry out there for everybody to see. So this should have definitely been held privately. And my big question is, why didn't Sammy get sent home? I think that is something that needs to be made clear. And we need to figure out what's going on. Anyways, There's a lot that we can go into with this. If there's something that I didn't touch on because I forgot or I didn't mention it, please feel free to bring it up here in the chat. I am going to go ahead and pull out some of your comments. Let me know how you guys feel about this. Do you side with Andrade? Do you side with Sammy Guevara? Do you side with neither? Can you possibly side with both? I don't know. Let me know what you guys are thinking in regards to this whole entire situation. All right. So we got Nick Grosso who sends in a super chat saying, I'm so sick of the backstage drama. TK needs to start being a boss and stop being a fanboy. Solid show. The finish with Sammy was bad as he should have been sent home. And it looks like Saraya is cleared. Okay. So going back, because I forgot to talk about that finish for the main event. That was something that I think also had a lot of people going, what now? Because people were already thinking, why is Sammy on the show? Like, everything's okay, right? And then Sammy ended up being the one to actually get the win for his team. Granted, you know, they cheated and they used the bout and all of that. But he was still the one to get the win for his team. So the second that happened, there was, like, no reaction whatsoever. The crowd was just like, I think everybody had the are you kidding me kind of reaction. And then afterwards, they had the Jericho Appreciation Society come out and they're all clapping and this and that. So I don't necessarily think that it was something that a lot of people were going to love. And you can tell that. You can tell that just by reading of the room in all of this. So there you go. Thank you to Nick Grosso for getting us started here today with the super chat. We got Justin Martin who sends one in saying, how the heck do you send Andrade home but have Sammy get the pin to win the main event? That was a bullcrap way to end an otherwise great show. And of course, if this is somebody that a lot, if this is something that a lot of people are bringing up because it doesn't make sense. It makes you wonder, like, what really happened during that backstage altercation that AEW was like, no, we're not going to send you home, Sammy. Like, we're not going to send you home. And you know what? As a matter of fact, go get this win on the main event, right? It makes you wonder what really went down. It is, you know, clearly there's more to the story, but how are they seeing this? What is their view? What is their perspective of this? Because whatever their view or perspective of this is, it seems to be saving Sammy Guevara in this situation. And let's be real. We all saw those tweets. We all saw the tweets and they were not pleasant, right? Unless you love the tea and the drama, then I guess it was exciting. But thank you to Justin Martin for sending in this super chat as well. Once again, guys, if you want to get your comments, your questions, your statements, your hot takes sent in here, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat. And I will make sure to get those read here on the show. We have another one from Hagen who says, I'm a fan of everyone in the Jericho Appreciation Society, but I'm tired of the jazz. Jericho wins, LOL. Is getting really lame, and Sammy getting the pin was a bad look. I like the Jericho Appreciation Society. I like the, you know, the concept of it all and the sports entertainment thing of it all. I like all of that. But yeah, Sammy getting the pin, I can definitely agree with you, was a bad look. Especially given how many unanswered questions we have right now. But thank you so much to Hagen for also sending in the super chat as well. We got a lot of different people saying that, you know, there's favoritism going around, you know, Tony losing the locker room are some of the comments that I'm seeing here. I'm trying to get some more in here and see what people are saying. And so far right now, there's a lot of, you know, there's not that many, there's a lot of anti Sammy stuff right now, and that should basically give you an idea of where people are at in this situation. Chris Rain sends in a super chat saying this is a really bad look for AEW and Tony. Sammy seems to always get away with everything. That's one of the major things that I have been seeing all across the board on social media. And here's the thing, like, at some point, you know, because, you know, let's be real, like, there's going to be, how do I say this? There's going to be drama that happens and that comes to people. But when it is made so public and it's constantly the same person over and over in the same drama with different people, you're going to start to wonder, like, what's going on there? You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. At some point, when is the problem the same person that you're seeing over and over? And it sucks, too, because I don't like to see things that way. I like to analyze every situation how it is, right? Like, I like to, you know, what happened with Sammy and Eddie, I want to analyze that as its own thing, right? What happened with Andrade and Sammy, you want to analyze that as your own, as its own thing, right? But at some point, you start to see this pattern and you start to wonder, like, okay, why are we seeing this pattern with the same person in it? So I do feel bad because, again, I'm a fan of Sammy's. I'm a fan of Andrade's. And, you know, it just sucks. I just think that here's the thing. Like, people make mistakes, right? People are going to make mistakes. We're not perfect. I make mistakes. You guys make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But, and here's the thing. I think if, like, someone makes a mistake and, you know, they get punished or whatever, and then later on, you know, they're not, there's not any drama with that person, people will forget that. People will be like, okay, fine. That was in the past. We're moving on. Clearly this person has, you know, changed their ways. They're, you know, changing for the better. And I think that's the only way that things are going to get better for Sammy is if he's no longer the person involved in all of these dramatic stories, right? Like, he has to take away from himself, like, remove himself from all of that drama. And here's the thing too, is that one of the things that Sammy did say on his vlog was he said that he feels that the drama comes to him, right? And that's his perspective of things. The drama, he feels, comes to him. He said that, you know, this was a quote that he said, and this is not verbatim, but I'm paraphrasing here. One of the things that he did say in his vlog was that every time he's on vacation, there suddenly seems to be a new drama. Like, it's following him around, right? Like, that sort of thing. And so I do feel really bad because at some point, like, how much shit can you possibly take, right? Like, social media hate, you know, all the drama. But then at the same time, it's like, where there's smoke, there's fire. So you got to, you know, I don't know what the hell's happening back there. I do not know. But anyways, that's what's going on there with that. Thank you, Chris Reigns, for also sending in your opinion and the super chat. I really appreciate that. All right. And we got some more comments here. This is from Fernando, who says, I know Sammy's a very talented guy, but it sounds like he's more trouble. Yeah, I don't know, man, guys. It really sucks. It really sucks because, you know, fudge. All right, let's get some more thoughts in here. I'm just going through this comments and see what's saying. This is from Mitch Madness 4, who says, yes, but Sammy started the whole thing with Eddie as well. Eddie took responsibility, but Sammy was 1,000% at fault. Well, you know, that's obviously going to change in people's perspective of that too, because that was another thing when the whole Eddie Kingston, Sammy Guevara, when the whole Eddie Kingston, Sammy Guevara situation happened, like, there were a lot of people. The one thing that I remember that really stood out when, you know, he was defending himself during all of this was when he said that, you know, in AEW, that if there's something you don't want to be said in a promo, that you should make a mention of that, right? Like, if you don't want someone to bring up your family, or whatever it is that you don't want people to bring up, that you should let people know that. And Eddie, I guess he said, never put it out there that he didn't want someone to, you know, mention his weight, right? And so that was kind of his defense from Sammy. And I was like, okay, I get that. Like, I get it. Maybe he thought, you know, this is going to get, some heat and whatnot and add to the promo. But it's just, man, it's just a lot here. This is from Ryan, who says, this is a shame. For the second time, we are not talking about a really good AEW show. Instead, we are talking more about this. Both Sammy and Andrade should be suspended. And yeah, I agree. Personally, I think, especially just given the whole drama that we saw unfold on Twitter, just that alone should have been equal suspension on both sides. Sheldon Jackson sends in a super chat saying, first Eddie Kingston, now Andrade. Sammy is the recurring theme here. He needs to be suspended as well, and undoing the work of Jericho, Bryan, and that Moxley did. Yeah, I remember we were all talking about how, like, the second, you know, the whole drama with the Elite and CM Punk happened, you know, Moxley went out there and did this whole big, like, rah-rah, like, we, you know, really getting people, just spinning things in a more positive way for AEW, right? Like, things were, for the most part, like, he did a good speech. I don't know how else to call it, like, a pep, pep talk. I don't know what he did, but it was a great freaking promo, right? And it was needed. Like, he put over AEW. He put over the meaning of AEW, the meaning of the championship. And he just said a lot of great things in that. And yeah, it sucks that, you know, we're obviously, we've already taken up half the show just talking about this drama. And then we're going to go ahead and obviously move into the rest of the show here. But we got a super chat here from Danny Padilla, who says, "Hey, Denise, don't have any questions. Just wanted to say recently started watching your videos and quickly became a big fan. Keep it up, girl. You're doing great." Thank you so much, Danny. You have no idea how nice that is and how much that means to me, especially because you know how it is sometimes. Sometimes it's hard. So thank you very much for sending this in. I really, really appreciate you. Havon the Legend sends in a super chat saying, "Only the second situation with Sammy Wright. Who cares? Great show. Had fun tonight. Love you, Denise." Well, there was the Eddie Kingston thing. There was the stuff that happened a while back with Impact Wrestling where he didn't want to, you know, there was reports out there that he didn't want to, you know, work with certain talent, all of that, whatever. I don't remember the details too much on that story. I just remember that being a thing. And the personal stuff, that was, you know, something totally different. I don't feel like I should include that in this. And then there was the Sasha Banks stuff. You know, people are obviously bringing that up too. You know, amends were made. Sasha Banks was very, very classy about the whole situation. Again, that was another thing of the past. But in terms of recent stuff, it was the Eddie Kingston thing and then this, right? Julian Mahara sends in a super chat saying, "Seeing Sammy tweeting that Andrade was a jobber was a killer for him. That made me mad. He's a Latin brother and should deal with the criticism." I think they should just both handled this privately. You know, after the comments that, you know, Andrade made on his interview, if I were Sammy and I really wanted to, you know, talk about it, then I probably would have just gone directly to Andrade to talk about it and been like, "Hey man, why'd you put me on blast like that?" Right. Etc. But who knows, man, everybody handles things in a different way. It really just depends on your personality. Like the person that keeps coming up to my mind is Hangman Page. Like the one thing people kept saying, this was on a report from Fightful Select, that people were saying that, you know, Hangman Page is not the confrontational type, right? So yeah, you know, it depends on, you know, the kind of person you are and what you're going to do when you're in a situation like that and how you're going to react, right? So anyways, it sucks. I really hope this gets cleared up. I really hope, personally for me, I hope that for Sammy, I hope that he somehow finds a way or tries to find a way to not be always the person that these stories are about, right? You know, I don't know what needs to be done so that, you know, you're no longer the person that's like Sammy and this person. Sammy and this person had a drama, right? At some point, you just got to find a way, change something. I don't know what it is. Because again, I do feel bad for Sammy because that was one of the things that he did say, that, you know, he goes out there and he's nice to everybody. In my personal experiences with Sammy, he's always been super nice to me. And so, you know, it's like shit. And then with Andrade, I hope he finds what he's looking for. The fact that, you know, he was pulled off of that Rampage match, the fact that he was sent home today, it's like you don't know what's going to happen with Andrade and what the future is going to be looking like with him and AEW. And we don't know. We do not know. Alrighty, so let's go ahead and continue on because there's still so much more to talk about on this show. We do have a super chat here from M.A. Solko who says, "If Tony has to keep sending guys home, he'll end up having to book more than one women's match per show." Thank you so much, M.A. Solko, for lighting up the chat in here. Kind of. Who knows? I don't know. But thank you so much to M.A. Solko for sending in this super chat. Alright, so we got more. Now let's get into this actual show. Jesus Christ, this is going to be a long one. All right. So MJF versus Wheeler Yuta kicked off the night. I did mention earlier that this was the match that I had to go back and rewatch because, again, of all the drama that unfolded right as this match was going on. So I ended up having to watch this match during the commercial breaks of the live show. So on one screen, I had the live show going. And then on my phone, I had the MJF Wheeler Yuta match on replay so that I can actually watch it and review it properly here today. All right. So here's the thing that I want to talk about in regards to this. When Wheeler Yuta and this MJF, you know, when MJF and Wheeler Yuta, when this whole thing first got started, the number one thing that we were talking about is that Wheeler Yuta's promo was not great, right? Like the first one that he did with MJF was really bad, right? It was not a good look whatsoever. And so, you know, now he really picked things up with that following promo that he did, really just got so much better. And then the attack that he did on MJF from the back when he attacked him in the skybox, and then this all leading to this match here, this really went from a story that I had like no interest in to a story that I ended up absolutely loving, like to the point where I am honestly more interested in this MJF Wheeler Yuta promo than I was when this whole thing first got started. So in regards to the match itself, they did a lot that I think really got the fans like invested, and really a lot of that included that rolling pin attempt that they did. Oh man, that popped the crowd so much. The powerbomb backbreaker from MJF to Yuta, the slap exchange that both of these guys did, the enziguri from Yuta to MJF, the double clothesline that had them both taken out for the count. And at one point, it was during the part where they were both down that the crowd had like this moment of a standing ovation. That was freaking awesome for them too. I love that before Yuta did the diving splash to MJF, MJF like flipped him off and then he did it. Little things like that I thought just really added to all of this. When MJF attempted to do the avalanche pile driver off the top, but then Yuta ended up like countering it, he bites MJF and then afterwards did that hurricanrana. Oh, that was really dope. And then immediately he went in and did the did a dive to MJF on the outside. That whole like little sequence there was probably my favorite part of this entire match. MJF eventually got the win here, but I really think that this kind of made Wheeler Yuta go in from like, Wheeler Yuta right now is going from that guy that like, you're like, oh, I know he's a good wrestler, but now it's like we're seeing him, you know, really have his own thing, his own storyline with these top guys, and that being MJF. So personally, I was a huge fan of what we saw here unfold for this opening match. And clearly the fans were as well because, you know, it got really great reactions. Afterwards, Wheeler wanted to shake his hand, but MJF was hesitant. And before he could shake his hand, Lee Moriarty came from behind and attacked Wheeler Yuta. And MJF was like super pissed about it. And then William Regal comes out. He confronts MJF, but MJF doesn't do anything about it because William Regal had the brass knucks and MJF didn't want a piece of that. I love that the crowd was like chanting, "You fucked up," and this and that. This was good stuff all around. Great opener for the show. And I'm loving what they're doing right now with MJF and Wheeler Yuta. All right, guys. And let's go ahead and continue on from here. And let's get into Jay Lethal versus Darby Allin. All right. Jay Lethal versus Darby. This was another good match too. I didn't think it was as good as the Wheeler Yuta MJF match, but it was still a good match. I love seeing like Lethal lock in the figure four on Darby, Darby going in and getting the code red. All of that was good. Darby ended up getting the win with the Last Supper. I think this match, this one may have been even better, I think, had it had more time. But, you know, sometimes, you know, there was just so much on the show that I thought it was fine for what it was. It wasn't the match of the night, but it was still a really good match that they did there with Darby and Jay Lethal. People pretty much just saying that, you know, it felt pretty, pretty good. All right, guys. And let's get into the rest of this. Let's get into, honestly, I think this was my favorite match of the night. I'm going to be real with you guys. This was my favorite match of the night. And the match that I'm talking about was the TNT Championship match. Wardlow defending for the fifth time, his fifth title defense. And this time it was against Brian Cage. Now, first and foremost, let's talk about a little bit of where Wardlow is at right now and where Brian Cage is at right now. So with Wardlow, this was his fifth title defense. He's defended against Orange Cassidy, Jay Lethal, Ryan Nemeth, Tony Nese, okay? And Brian Cage being the fifth. Orange Cassidy, that was a good defense. I remember that. Lethal, good defense. The Ryan Nemeth, Tony Nese, not so great. That wasn't really anything. Like, if you were to tell me, Denise, what even happened in that match, I'd be like, Powerbomb Symphony, and that's all I can even remember from that, because those weren't anything really noteworthy. So the big thing that I've been feeling like I've been consistently talking about, and so many people have been talking about, is like Wardlow's TNT Championship reign hasn't really been anything to write home about, okay? Like, let's be real. It hasn't necessarily been hot stuff, okay? It could be better. And I think it got to the point where it felt like we were seeing Wardlow have the same match over and over again. And you want to see something different. Like, obviously, people are still going to mark out for, you know, they're still going to react and pop for Wardlow. That's going to be still a thing. But we were seeing the same match over and over. At one point, you're like, do I even pay attention to this? I already know what's going to happen. So that's where I kind of feel, you know, we're at with Wardlow in terms of his TNT Championship run. Okay. Now, Brian Cage. Brian Cage is a whole entirely different story. His thing is, like, he is rarely seen, man. Like, the guy, like, you could forget that he's even on the roster, which is kind of sad to say because I like Brian Cage. I'm a fan of his work, man. But let's be real. He's hardly ever on TV. Like, hardly ever on TV, all right? I had to go back and even find out, like, when's the last time we even really got much of Brian Cage. He had his last singles match was on Rampage back in, his last match was on Dynamite when he lost to Powerhouse Hobbs, and I forgot when the hell this was, but that was the last time he did that. But even then, there wasn't, like, much else. Like, it's been slim pickings for him. So anyways, the point is that this was a match that both guys, I think, really had to go out there and kind of show, like, you know, Brian Cage wants to prove why he should be more on TV, and Wardlow wants to prove why, you know, he should be a great TNT champion, right? And just really kick off his reign and have it be great. Okay, this match was kick-ass, all right? I loved it. And the reason for that is, if you were just a casual fan, if you were just tuning in or maybe watching with a friend, you've never seen wrestling before, maybe you have, but maybe you're not familiar with Wardlow or Brian Cage. Let's just say you're a first timer, right? You're going to go in there thinking, you're going to have a certain expectation. Based on the way that Wardlow and Brian Cage look, you're going to have an expectation of what kind of match you're going to get, right? But Wardlow and Brian Cage are able to do some very agile things. They're able to move their bodies in a way that you wouldn't necessarily imagine that they would be able to do. So they went out there, Wardlow and Brian Cage went out there and had the kind of match that not many people would expect for them to have. They started off, like, exchanging punches with one another. Wardlow doing that smooth-ass hurricanrana that he does. Brian following that up immediately. Then there was a moment where Brian went in for, like, you know, his version of the 619, and Wardlow catches him, slams him down. Again, both guys really doing this, like, agile work. Then on top of that, showcasing their power. So not only are they doing these moves that you didn't think they could do, but Brian Cage goes out there and he hits Wardlow. He, like, slings him down. Really great stuff. German suplexes from Wardlow to Brian Cage followed after that. Love, for if you've been here on my show before, you guys know that I'm a sucker. Oh, I'm a sucker for some really good headbutts, man. If there is a headbutt that comes in, like, looking really great, sounding really great, I'm a sucker for that. And Wardlow has some great headbutts to Brian Cage during this. Very, very hard hitting. Eventually, Wardlow shows his strength and power by doing the Powerbomb Symphony on a guy the size of Brian Cage. I think he hit him with, like, 4 power bombs. I think that was the final count. Wardlow obviously wins this match. And all I got to say is, this was my favorite Wardlow TNT Championship match. This may have even been one of my top favorite Wardlow matches, period, because it was just good. It was entertaining. It was fun. It was enjoyable to watch. And again, it may just, these are the kind of matches we want to see Wardlow do. Like, please, more of this. Like, more to talk about in his matches. Like, not, let's just not go straight into these powerbomb symphonies. Like, give us a little bit more filling in these matches. And I think that's what they definitely did here in this match with Brian Cage. As for Brian Cage, the dude is great. Utilize, like, it's not every day that you have somebody that looks like Brian Cage and that can do the things that Brian Cage can do. Utilize that, you know? So really good stuff with all of that. All righty. And let's see what else we got here. And let's see what people are saying about this. And our rig says, I thought Cage was signed to ROH and not AEW now. It's like, you know, he's with AEW, but he was, you know, appearing on the ROH shows that they did. And let's see what else we got. More people putting over this match. Great stuff, man. Great stuff. Justin says this was an awesome match that exceeded an awesome Hoss fight that exceeded with high expectations. Both Wardlow and Cage are insane combos of size, power, and agility. Honestly, great stuff there. Alrighty, everybody. So let's go ahead and I want to talk about the post-match stuff, obviously. Can't forget about that. The Gates of Agony, they come out. They go in to attack Wardlow, and then Samoa Joe comes out. He makes a save. Samoa Joe comes in freaking red hot. Like, nobody kicks ass the way that Samoa Joe kicks ass. I don't know how to say it. I will never mess with Samoa Joe. I don't suggest anybody messes with Samoa Joe. We have, you know, obviously War Joe has been a thing with Samoa Joe and Wardlow, but they are eventually outnumbered at this point. And then finally, FTR's music hits. They come in. The crowd goes bananas, and they send the embassy. They send them away. And FTR essentially has a face-off with the Gates of Agony. So it was good stuff, and we'll talk more about the matches that were made later on in the evening. But before we move on, guys, we're about to get into the women's stuff. Just before we get into that, again, if you are new to the show and you're enjoying it so far, just a heads up, guys, if you want to help support this podcast and keep me funded, please, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat. If you're like, dang it, I really want Denise to read this because I have something great to say. The best way to get your comment read on here is, again, by sending a super chat. But now let's get into the women's stuff, because there's a lot of exciting stuff to talk about in terms of what went down with this whole picture. So first and foremost, we had Britt Baker. Okay, first and foremost, let me correct myself here. This was a huge step up from the events that occurred last week. Last week was not so great, okay? It wasn't good stuff. But this week, we had good stuff. I was so happy about everything that went down for the women tonight. I loved it all. All right, so Britt Baker does a promo backstage, and she basically says that Saraya is not cleared by AEW and that she's here to break the news to all of us. And that's basically telling us, okay, Saraya is cleared, okay? She was basically, everybody took that as, okay, she's cleared, all right? So that was how things got started. Then we went into the trios tag match. We had Willow, Athena, and Tony take on Penelope, Jamie, and Serena Deeb, excuse me. First and foremost, why do I keep saying that? Okay, forget that. The way the match kicked off is really fast paced. I loved it because you had everybody going in and like getting their moves in. They started it off fast and I liked that. I think they needed to like kind of break away from the mold of the way that they've been starting all of their women's matches. And this one to me felt a little bit differently with the way that it got started. I absolutely loved when Willow went in and did the hip attack on Serena Deeb, because she went in there and then immediately after Toni Storm followed with the hip attack on Serena Deeb. I kind of liked that like little back-to-back moment. There was a moment where Penelope kicked Willow, and it wasn't necessarily like the most hard-hitting kick, but I will say this, I want to give credit to Willow because she sold that kick from Penelope really freaking well. Like, she made it seem like Penelope kicked her into another planet. So great job with Willow there, selling that. Really great stuff. Jamie hitting a backbreaker on Tony, followed by a super kick from Willow. I loved that little sequence, because after that, we had a really interesting portion with Penelope. So Penelope does like the back arc, and she's kind of like, you know, she does the back arc, right? And there's a moment where she kind of gets a little bit stuck, and I'm thinking, oh my God, she's gonna get stuck either. She can't get up, she's gonna fall down, this and that. And then out of nowhere, she turns it into a cutter. And I gotta tell you, it was actually pretty impressive in my opinion, because I thought, oh my gosh, she's gonna lose her balance, she's gonna fall, this is gonna be embarrassing for her. And she ended up turning it into a cutter and saving herself. And I'm thinking about how she got from that position into get into executing the cutter and holding her balance. I thought that was pretty interesting. I had to go back and rewind just to see that again. But Willow ended up being the one to get that win for her team. She ended up pinning Penelope Ford. And I like this, man. I'm so happy for Willow. And obviously, we're going to talk more about Willow when we talk about the match that was made for Battle of the Bouts, because she is going to be taking on Jade Cargill at Battle of the Bouts for the TBS Women's Championship. And I really think, I don't know, maybe I could be wrong, but I have a feeling this may be it, guys. I don't know. Will Willow defeat Jade Cargill? I think there's a good chance. I don't know. I'm like 80-20. I'm like 80-20 on. No, I'm not. I'm 50-50. I'm 50-50. I have no idea what's happening. But there's more. But wait, there's more. Saraya and Britt Baker end up having a brawl. Saraya gets into action. She goes out there and she starts fighting with Britt Baker. So there you go. I think that pretty much solidifies our, basically answers our question. Is Saraya cleared? Based on what we saw here tonight, I think we can assume that she definitely is, and that we're heading into Saraya versus Britt Baker. And obviously that was, you know, the intention for a bit based off the storyline that we've been seeing so far since her debut into AEW. But again, we just didn't know if she was cleared or not. Well, now it's seeming like, she's good to go. I mean, I don't know, because they haven't technically said this, but she was out there fighting, put two and two together, right? Okay. Let's get some thoughts in here and see what people are saying. Chris Rain sends in a super chat saying this was a huge step forward for the women. Loved every moment. Definitely was good wrestling. Girls that are over, this includes Jamie Hayter, who just continues to get over and over as, the weeks go by. Willow, who's extremely liked by the people. Toni Storm is hanging in there as the champion. Interim champion, excuse me. I keep forgetting that she's interim champion. Like, I'm not a fan of the interim championship stuff, to be honest. I'm more so like, you either be champion or you ain't champion. It's so hard for me to keep fitting the word interim in there. But anyways, interim champion. Regardless, thank you so much to Chris Rain for sending in this super chat as well, getting his thoughts in here for the women's stuff. All righty. Twitchface 4 says, put the belt on Willow. If not her, then who? Exactly. If not her, then who? Someone says I have something fuzzy on my hair to the right side. Oh, the fuzzy thing? It's my earphones, guys. Sorry. It's my earbuds that I have hanging in there. I thought I had something in my hair. I was like, oh no, what do I got? All right, moving on from this. The Acclaimed. So the big thing that everybody was excited for, trending all day on social media. I got my t-shirt on. As you all know, I wasn't a big fan of the Scissor Me Daddy stuff in the beginning. I didn't get it. I really didn't get it. Well, I ended up warming up to it, really thanks to Will, who kind of convinced me and explained the joke to me and all of that good stuff. Whatever. Fast forward to this, Scissor Me Daddy and the scissoring stuff is incredibly over with the people. Like, I feel they've started some sort of movement, man, because I have not seen so many people like, just do something new. Like, obviously, when you think of like hand gestures, obviously you think of the too sweet, you think of the you can't see me, you think of the crotch chop. There's so many other things that I'm not thinking of right now, but those are some of the ones you think of, right? Like right off the top of your head. And now we got the Scissor Me Daddy stuff going on. And now it feels like they've really started something new. And then on top of this, so basically, we had everybody, like so many people in the crowd with all of these DIY scissors. It was incredible to see. Like, I love stuff like that. Like, I love I love knowing that, like, people stayed up to, okay, this is going to sound really freaking cheesy, but I love knowing that people went out of their way, went to the store, got a, you know, board, got some markers, got some scissors, and created these DIY scissors, because I saw a lot of them. And I even saw some pictures, some like people sharing pictures of them, you know, creating the scissors and all of that. And I don't know, I find that so incredibly heartwarming to know that people went out of their way to do that, because you only go out of your way to do stuff like that if it's important to you and if it's over, right? So that basically says, like, this is over. Like, people want to, you know, go out there and take their little DIY scissors, etc. It's fun stuff. All right, so and then I clicked on the hashtag too, and everybody was having a grand old time with that. Anyway, so they come out there, they're doing their big celebration. They got their balloons and everything. We got the DIY scissors, everybody holding the stuff up. Some really great signs in the crowd. I shared a couple of them on my Twitter account. There were some really creative signs on AEW today. But anyway, so they go out there and they call themselves, you know, the best team there is. They mention how they're the number one selling t-shirt of 2022 with the Scissor Me Daddy t-shirt. They say that AEW now stands for Acclaimed every Wednesday. Billy Gunn gives Anthony Bowen some big golden scissors, and he's super happy about this. They start talking about how everybody loves the Acclaimed. After this, we have a... after this, Max Caster kind of, so they're in Washington, D.C., right? And then all of a sudden, this, I started thinking, like, oh my God, are they going to go into like this political route with this? Because all of a sudden, they kind of, you know, incorporated a little bit of politics into this, right? And it ended up being this whole like togetherness thing. So I'm going to read this verbatim the way that Max Caster said this. He said, put your scissors up right now, because it's our duty to bring everyone together. Today, there is no left, no right, no red, no blue. The acclaimed wears pink, and everyone looks good in pink. And, you know, talking a little bit about how, you know, clearly we live in a society where we're completely divided on like everything. And so it was kind of nice that they did this whole like, you know, silly scissor thing that kind of, you know, made everyone happy. And I love that they did this whole thing where, you know, I've been to church, and, you know, in church they do the whole thing. And they even mentioned this on commentary where, you know, you shake hands with people and it's a really nice moment, right? If you've gone to church and you've experienced that, it's a very nice thing to go and shake the hands of strangers and stuff. Maybe not in COVID age, but, you know, prior to that, whatever. So they did this whole thing where they asked the people, you know, to basically turn to the right, turn to the left, and scissor the person next to them. I freaking love that. I don't know what it was. It just felt so nice to see. Screw it. I'm a sucker. This was very, very sweet. I was a fan of all of this. After this, they're about to do this whole bipartisan scissoring thing, but Swerve comes out and he basically interrupts this, ruins the big moment, the big happy jolliness that we're feeling. And he basically says that, you know, he's pissed off at Billy Gunn. He says that, you know, the fact that the titles, he says that the title should be on Billy Gunn's shoulders, since he's the reason that he and Keith Lee lost the championships. And then afterwards, he challenges Billy Gunn to a match for next week. Billy Gunn ends up accepting this. But prior to this, we had Mark Sterling, who comes out, and he basically says that they need him in order to take on Swerve, but instead he gets attacked by the Acclaimed. This was funny. I loved all of this, guys. This was good stuff, man. Billy Gunn versus Swerve Strickland is going to be harmless. It's going to be fun. You know, he helped the Acclaimed get this stuff over. The way I see it is like, this is like a reward to be able to like wrestle Swerve in their Canadian AEW debut. This is awesome. Honestly, I loved all of this. I feel like they've really started something with the, you know, National Scissoring Day. Tyson says, my brother walked in on this and had no idea what the hell was going on. I don't think I can explain, like, this is not something that I can explain to any family members. Like, I posted a really like dumb little video that I did for the Acclaimed on Instagram, like not for the Acclaimed, but about the Acclaimed and the t-shirt and the little scissoring stuff. And I don't know what my non-wrestling followers thought of that. I don't even want to know what they thought about that. They probably think I'm some sort of like kinky freak or something. Like, that's probably what my friends think. Like, Denise is clearly on to something. I don't know. I don't know what they think. All right, but let's move on from this. We got a backstage segment that I actually really enjoyed. This was with Madison and Sky Blue, Anna, Jay, and Ty Mello. And Madison is essentially putting over Sky, calling her, you know, a wrestler that I forgot what she said verbatim, but she basically says she's a good wrestler. She's an up-and-coming young talent, right? So then Anna and Ty, they come in and they basically tell her that she needs to work on her personality, that she has no personality. And Sky actually has a really great comeback because she tells them, well, like, okay, well, I'm working on my personality. You guys should learn how to wrestle. And the crowd really reacted to that. So they're, you know, continuing the whole pro wrestler, sports entertainer thing, but, you know, now doing it with the ladies, right? Instead of just with Daniel Garcia, Brian, and Jericho. So good stuff there, man. All right, Hangman Adam Page versus Rush. This was another really good match too. I didn't think it was the match that I was expecting it to be. I think I had a little bit more higher expectations for this one just because there's been some other Rush matches that I've seen on AEW or on Ring of Honor that I really just enjoyed maybe just a little bit more than this. But regardless, this was still a fine match. I loved the chop exchange between both guys. I love when Rush did the headbutt and then got Hangman Page like right with the knee on the gut. And then got him with the pile driver. All of that was good. At one point, he gets busted open immediately after that pile driver. We do see Rush get busted open, and he does this whole thing where he like licks the blood and this and that. That was great stuff there. But this was still, you know what? This is a little quick now that I think about it. There could have been a lot longer, or maybe not could have been a lot longer because they had a lot of pretty lengthy matches here. But anyways, so for the actual finish, we see Hangman Page hit the Buckshot Lariat, and that is how he eventually wins this match. But, so the match itself was fine, all right? It was fine. It wasn't like groundbreaking or anything. It was fine. But what we need to talk about is the events that unfolded afterwards, because afterwards we had Jon Moxley come out. Great reaction. And, you know, he's basically telling them how how between the both of them, between Jon Moxley and Hangman Page, they have both beaten pretty much everybody that there is to beat in AEW, but they haven't, you know, gone up against each other, right? That's what Jon Moxley's saying. So then, you know, he's talking about, you know, October 18 and their match together. And he says he's going to be the last man standing. And he says he's going to break Hangman's Page, that he's going to break his face, he's going to turn him blue, and that he's going to be, he says that Hangman Page is the only thing in the way of him being the top guy in AEW. I loved that line because he put over Hangman Page, but without, it was like a, he put him over, but in a way that was like, you know, complimentary. You know, he complimented him, but also basically said, I'm going to get rid of you, you know? So I really did enjoy that little back and forth that we got from Jon Moxley and Hangman Adam Page. But the closing of this is where we need to talk about what Jon Moxley said. So as I was talking about earlier on this podcast, we all remember the whole drama with CM Punk and Hangman Page and, you know, CM Punk not liking what Hangman Page, you know, what he said. And CM Punk's words were going into business for himself and, you know, not liking some of the things that Hangman Page said in his promo work. And that was a big, huge topic, right? We all know the story. Anyways, so Moxley tells Hangman Page, you know, you're a sweet kid, but like a lot of kids around here, your mouth gets you in trouble. He says, I'm basically letting you off the hook, but one more time and, you know, I'm going to basically destroy you, right? So Jon Moxley kind of killed two birds with one stone here. He not only basically alluded to the drama between Hangman Page and CM Punk, but he also kind of alluded to the drama with like Sammy Guevara and, you know, whatever else, you know, people are saying that they're not supposed to be saying. This really feels like, he killed two birds with one stone here. So I did like this little you know, read in between the lines kind of deal that John Moxley did here with Hangman Page. And then obviously Hangman Page just took it. And that was the end of that. We get a super chat here from YT who says, my dad is going to full gear with me and I'm not telling him what scissor me daddy ass means. Probably for the best to let him be surprised. Oh no. Oh no. Oh dear. All right. I don't even know what to tell you. That's going to be freaking great. Please come back, tweet me or whatever. I need to know your dad's reaction to the scissor me daddy ass, because I'm sure he's going to be like, what the hell kind of creepy ass place am I? Where, like, because you're going to be wondering, like, why the hell are, well, I don't know if your dad's a wrestling fan or not. If your dad's not a wrestling fan, he's going to be like, what kind of creepy psycho fans? Why are they cheering about scissoring and daddies and stuff like that, right? Like, that's going to be the outsider's perspective. If he's a fan, then, you know, eventually he'll figure it out and laugh about it. But thank you to YT for sending in this super chat. I really appreciate that, man. We got another one here from Deontay Slanier. Thank you so much to Deontay, who's always, I see you on Twitter. I see your tweets. Thank you so much for all of the support. And Deontay says, great show. Drama is annoying, but love wrestling. Always good to see you, Denise. Sorry, I've not been active, just busy with work. Love you. I appreciate you. And I'm, like I said, I'm constantly seeing your tweets and they brighten up my day. So thank you so much for that. All right, so let's go ahead and continue on from here because we still got a couple more items to talk about. Luchasaurus and Fuego del Sol, this was a quick squash match, and this was really just to, you know, transition into the post-match stuff with Jungle Boy essentially coming in and attacking Luchasaurus with a chair following his victory over Fuego. And Jungle Boy cuts a brief promo, but I feel this promo was pretty good. And it was mainly one line that I think really got me with Jungle Boy. Because Jungle Boy, for me, his promos have, you know, his promos have been hit or miss. Certain weeks, I think they're good. Certain weeks, I'm like, ah, maybe drop the ball a little bit there. I think one of the things that... For Jungle Boy, I feel like some of the promos just need to be refined a little bit more, especially when he was doing that back and forth stuff with Christian Cage. Christian Cage is just like, you know, flawless with his execution of what he's going out there and saying. So there was times where I thought Jungle Boy had some good comebacks and some that I thought felt a little bit weak, but this one was pretty good. He goes out there and, you know, pulls all of our heartstrings here, really, because he basically tells, you know, Luchasaurus, you were my best friend. You were my best friend. We went through everything together and you chose him. And when you chose him, you broke my heart. When he said that, that was legitimately the line that got me. I'm like, you broke his damn heart. How could you do that? But then he transitions it into, well, now I'm going to break your fingers, your nose, your arms, and I'm going to break every miserable piece of you piece by piece, right? So I like this. A really nice, simple, straightforward promo for Jungle Boy. I think with Jungle Boy, you got to keep it short and simple. All right. And Onios Gaming says Christian Cage is the great heel. He knows how to make all of us hate him. Yeah, I agree, man. I love Christian Cage, man. When he was saying all of that stuff to Jungle Boy about his dead father, which is, you know, unfortunate, but the stuff with his mother and all of that, I just thought, you know, like you're, it's a SpongeBob meme. You know, the one when he's carrying the book where you're like, this is, you know, this is really fucked up. But at the same time, oh man, I can't help but to root for Christian Cage because damn, he's mean. You know, you're a little bit torn there. But either way, shout out to Christian Cage for all of the great work he did with that. But regardless, we'll talk more about this later on because they finally made, might as well talk about it now. For AEW's debut in Canada, they are going to be doing Jungle Boy versus Luchasaurus with Christian Cage. So that's going to be, you know, pretty exciting to see, I think. All right, we already talked about the main event at the top of the show. So let's talk about the matches that were announced. But before I get to that, just a heads up to everybody, I will be here this Friday. I will be here to talk about, God, everything. SmackDown, Rampage, and Battle of the Belts. And I will do the post show immediately following Battle of the Belts. I will be here live. So I'll be live at a later time, but I will be live. Then after that, I have to watch Bound for Glory because then the next day I'll be live. So it's just a lot going on, guys. I'm very stressed out. All right, AEW Rampage this Friday. What we've got to look forward to, we're going to have 2 hours of AEW action. Death Triangle is going to be defending their Trios Tag Team titles against John Silver, Alex Reynolds, and Ten. Obviously, the Ten is no longer going to be wrestling Andrade. We talked about that earlier. Josh Woods and Tony Nese with Mark Sterling. Josh Woods and Tony Nese against the Varsity Blondes. Nah, it's okay. Madison Rayne and Sky Blue versus Ty Mello and Anna Jay. We talked about that earlier. Then John Moxley, Wheeler Yuta, Claudio Castagnoli will be taking on Rush and Private Party. That should be a pretty fun match. Then AEW Battle of the Belts. We got Jade Cargill versus Willow for the TBS title. I think this is the night, guys. And if it's not Willow, like somebody said earlier, if it's not Willow, then who? FTR puts the ROH tag team titles on the line against the Gates of Agony, and then Pac will be defending the All Atlantic title against Trent Beretta. That's actually the match I'm most looking forward to, because I think that one is don't sleep on that one, guys. Don't sleep on that one. I think that one's gonna be a hell of a match. That's my prediction for match of the night for AEW. And then, of course, Pac will be having two matches. He's going to be wrestling on Rampage and also Battle of the Belts. So good for him. Matches announced for the Canadian debut of AEW Dynamite. Jungle Boy Luchasaurus, Billy Gunn versus Swerve Strickland, and Chris Jericho will be defending the Ring of Honor World Championship against Bryan Danielson in what is now their third match together. So they're really enjoying... I mean, they're clearly enjoying working with each other, and we're enjoying watching it. So there you go. Two thumbs up. All right, guys. Wow, this was a longer show, but I want to thank everybody for coming in to this AEW Dynamite debut of 3 years of Dynamite. A lot of great moments, and on top of that, a pretty newsworthy day. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please share this podcast with your friends. If you enjoyed it, please tweet it out. Let people know. I'm trying to grow the show consistently, and I can only do that with your support. So thank you guys so much for coming in each and every single week. You will never know how much I appreciate each and every single one of you. Do not forget to subscribe to F4W Online. And if you haven't already, head on over to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. It is currently blowing up right now, and I'm trying to keep it blowing up. So please make sure to head on over there, click that subscribe button. I'm always posting interviews, videos, live streams. I will be doing an Extreme Rules watch along this Saturday. So if you guys have no friends like me that live here that watch pro wrestling, come hang out with me on my channel and do that Extreme Rules watch along. Other than that, Twitter and Instagram @_DeniseSalcedo. Thank you guys so much, and I will see you back here on Friday. Bye, everyone.